And now, back to Reinvention Radio. Here's your host, Steve Ulscher.
Alrighty, welcome to a very special edition here of Reinvention Radio. I'm Steve Ulscher, hanging out with the lovely Mary Goulet.
Hello, Steve Ulscher.
Richie Ote, which are babies.
How's it going?
And we have a very special guest, as I said, joining us here today, Mr. Bob Doyle from The Secret. And and since this is kind of one of those guys that doesn't need a whole lot of introduction, I'm not going to sit here and go on and on about a long bio and whatnot. Let's just actually jump right into it. And if you want to join the conversation here, we are live right here, right now, if you're listening to the podcast edition. We're not, but if you're listening live with us right now, then please give us a jingle at 866-977-2346, and that's extension number dose, number two, number one, whatever it is, we'll work you in there. But yeah, if you've got a question for Bob, if you've applied the law of attraction to your life and you'd like to share a story with us, we would love to hear from you. So let's actually bring Bob up right now. Bob, you there, bud?
I am here.
Wow, and you sound amazing. Like, we have nothing but, like I don't know what it is, but something about, like, the people who call in from outer space or whatever it is, they sound like literally they're in a
right next
tin
to us.
Can, and this guy is, like, in the room with us. It's awesome. So I'm going to say you're a professional, Bob.
Well, thank you very much. I do dabble in voice work and all sorts of audio production in addition to all the other things I'm up to. So thank you very much. I'm glad we're communicating.
So when the law of attraction is not paying the bills, then you've always got the fallback on media work, yeah?
Now, Steve, it's a passion. You know, I was listening to your spot about what is your what and all of that. And you know, my overriding message, more than any of the, you know, the magical aspect of what the law of attraction is being perceived to be, is to, you know, be who you are, follow your passion and all of that. And when that happens, all the science piece of the law of attraction just kind of works automatically without having to know techniques and things like that. So, yes, I follow my passions of voiceover and live streaming and ukulele playing and just everything that lights me up, I tend to do. And that's what makes life work for me.
Nice. So take us back it's hard to believe, but The Secret came out in what, 2006? How long ago?
10 years. Yep. 10 years.
2006. That's unbelievable. So give us a little bit of an understanding of where you were before you got that call and the moment you got the call. And was it sort of like one of those, this is a no-brainer, I'm in? Or take us back through that point of decision.
Great. So I had actually been in this space of teaching the law of attraction for about 3 years at this point. And so when Rhonda Byrne, who created the Secret, had her own things happen in her life and she came up with this idea, she started doing research for, you know, other teachers of the law of attraction. And I think she was looking for just sort of a variety of different angles. And my angle has always been, you know, I'm a mainstream guy, naturally a skeptic, and I wanted some science behind it. And I think that sort of just really grounded view of this, a real practical implementation without a lot of the woo-woo, for lack of a better word, which mm-hmm. I'm not against woo-woo, mm-hmm. right? But a lot of people will resist that. And so anyway, so when she called, she had said, well, you know, we've got this project that we're working on. Now, by this time, I'd been approached by several people with projects, mm-hmm. right? I'd already kind of made a name and they wanted to do this. And I used to get very excited, like, oh, yeah, I'd love to. And then nothing ever happened. So this was just another one. And she goes, well, you know, this movie idea. And I'm like, okay, well, is there anything you can show me? She goes, well, we've got a trailer that we put together. So I'm expecting literally like a PowerPoint, right? Like, here's our idea of this film. Mm-hmm. Well, it was this full-blown production. And I'm like, okay, these guys are for real. And mm-hmm. so I was kind of like Wayne and Garth. Yes, I think I can work with you on this project. and so that's how that happened.
Mm-hmm. And so reality, though, you were fairly new into the whole law of attraction world. What brought you into that world to begin with?
Yeah, it was a series of dissatisfying careers. I always grew up knowing I wanted to be on the radio. I wanted to do voiceover like my dad, you know, so I knew this. And so I spent my whole childhood and teenage years and college and all of this getting ready for that career, got into that career and was disillusioned. I was in Atlanta, which is a major market, and I just didn't have the creative freedom that I wanted to. And so I always saw that work as a way to express myself creatively, which I really believe is what everybody is craving. And so when I couldn't do that in radio, I was like, oh man, God, my whole life, what am I thought I wanted this. So then I just jumped around from career to career. I wasn't a very good employee because I wanted so much creative control over everything I did. So it was clear to me that entrepreneurship was my future, but everything I tried didn't work. And I'm a fairly intelligent guy. I'm a creative guy. There was no, like, it wasn't making any sense why nothing I was doing was working. And that's what made me think, all right, well, I'm kind of at the end of my rope here. where else? I need to find some answers. And that's when I started looking down more non-traditional ways, like that metaphysical path. What invisible force might be at work here? Because I was truly like, I don't know. I've got to look somewhere else. And so that's when I started reading about things like, you know, meditation and visualization and creating your reality and all of those sort of very new agey concepts. And I loved them. They called to something in me, but my logical brain was like, yeah, but where's the science? This is whatever. Mm-hmm. And so to cut down a very long story short, I eventually was led to some information that really talked about the quantum physics, specifically of our thoughts, you know, really nailed that whole everything is energy idea that we know basically to be true here in the universe is we're an energetic universe. And when we think about that, our thoughts also are energy, then they must have some sort of energetic impact on things. And then it started to really make sense. Like, why could I say, oh, I want to be successful and all those things that, you know, positive affirmations, but yet it not show up? When I realized that my belief systems around money and success were, no matter what I was saying out loud and no matter what I consciously wanted, my internal beliefs were, it's going to be hard. Debt is just the way of life. You know, it doesn't matter if you like what you do. You just have to earn a paycheck, because that was what I learned growing up. That was the environment I grew in. So these belief systems were, they're a very strong program running in me. Mm-hmm. And so it was that recognition of being brutally honest with myself, that you can't just positively talk your way out of a situation. You have to change something at a much more fundamental level.
And a lot of people get hung up, though, at that point, because I think there's a lot of misunderstanding, a lot of misperception in terms of what the power of the law of attraction really can be and what it is, in terms of like, oh, if I just have these positive thoughts, then positive things will happen in my life. But as you're saying, I mean, it takes a lot more than just that shift of let me think positive thoughts and positive things will happen. So in terms of where you were at that point, I mean, would you say you were depressed after trying all these various entrepreneurial endeavors and they weren't meeting with any sort of success?
I was certainly disillusioned, you know, and I was scared because, you know, I had quit my job. I'd quit my corporate job because I thought, well, I'm not taking enough action because I've got this safety net of this job. And so I need to just jump, which I don't recommend to everybody. It's very stressful. But that was what I needed to do. And so there were 7 or 8 months of just, you know, spiraling financial problems and just all kinds of stuff. So I was scared, I guess maybe a little depressed, certainly disillusioned, not feeling adequate. You know, I had a young family and I just wasn't providing. And so, yeah, I think there was a lot going on in my mind at that point.
Mm-hmm. Mary?
Well, and I was thinking about what you were saying about the woo-woo side. I mean, that's a huge component of the law of attraction. And I think a lot of people will buy into, okay, the law of attraction, if I just think positively, visualize, make my vision board, but then something in them stops them or halts them from actually taking action and doing things that may be fear-based for them. Because that, I don't care how you cut it, if you're being called to do something, you have a desire deep inside to make a difference in the world and be of service, you're going to have to face fears.
Absolutely, and a lot of discomfort. And that is something that people aren't understanding. If you were comfortable with this vision that you have for yourself, you'd be there.
I mean, exactly.
You would have taken the action. So this whole idea that, oh, the law of attraction is this magic wand and all I have to do is know what I want and visualize it and it'll happen is completely not true. And
kind of gave it a bad name, too.
Because it oversimplified the whole thing. And so what you had was people watched The Secret, and some people were able to just make little tweaks in their thinking or who they were being. And it did have the impact that it needed to do to make major shifts in their life. In other words, they had a little bit of resistance in certain areas and they just needed a shake up or a paradigm shift or something. And that was that tweak that they needed. But other people, much deeper areas of resistance around money and relationships and whatever. I mean, our environment, our upbringing, it has so much to do with this. And so it's not going to be the same results for everybody. And there is work to do, you know? And so, but it's worth doing when you understand. But see, the thing is if you're a practical thinker, you know, consider yourself to be intelligent and never really looked over in the woo-woo space, you hear this stuff, you're not even going to consider it.
Right.
It's just like, this is a distraction that these people, their excuse, whatever it is. But if you take the time, which is what I had to do because out of necessity, you know, it's like, well, I'm spinning my wheels here. I may as well open my mind up a little bit. And I was at that point, I was ready just to accept anything. And so that's when I just started playing with this stuff and felt on a deep level the reality of it. It just made sense. It didn't feel like a blind leap of faith. It didn't feel like what it did was take all, everything that is woo-woo and actually make it scientific. But you have to but to make woo-woo scientific, you know, you got to study the science to see how could this work? How could these things that are considered woo-woo actually be scientific? Once you do that, then that whole energetic barrier of resistance you have about, I think this is a scam, I might be being duped, I have no idea if this is going to work or not, that's literally going to push away any attempts that you try to implement when you're, quote unquote, trying the law of attraction. And that's the thing. People think, well, maybe it's true, maybe it's not. So they don't know. They might want to believe, they might think it's a good idea, but their ego is going to scream at them because the ego doesn't want change, even if it's good. It just wants the status quo. Even if you're miserable, it knows how to, it's gotten comfortable with handling that. And if you create this huge, wonderful vision where you're filled with happiness and passion and abundance and you've never had that, your inner voice is going to scream, there's no freaking way you can have this. Why are you even trying?
Right.
Yeah. All right. So we're going to have to take a quick break here on Reinvention Radio. We're talking to Bob Doyle of The Secret Fame. And I actually know Bob's got a lot of other things going on as well. And we'll get into some of that. And Richie, I know you were kind of jumping out of your chair there. You got a question for Bob. And we will be talking with Bob Doyle of The Secret Fame here on Reinvention Radio. More right after this.
You were born to do one amazing thing, but most people spend a lifetime trying to identify what it is. If you're at a job you don't like or are unemployed, if you're in a state of transition or just can't shake that nagging feeling that you were meant and made to do something extraordinary, the Reinvention Workshop is exactly what you need. Led by award-winning self-help author Steve Ulscher, the Reinvention Workshop will forever change your life. The Reinvention Workshop takes you step by step through Steve's proven formula that has helped so many get on the right path and be clear about what they were born to do. Take the first step for realizing the life you deserve and desire by visiting TheReinventionWorkshop.com today. No more delays, no more denial. Reconnect with your true self. Learn to live with purpose and conviction and become who you were born to be. The world is waiting for you. What are you waiting for? Log on to TheReinventionWorkshop.com. That's TheReinventionWorkshop.com.
And now, back to Reinvention Radio. Here's your host, Steve Ulscher.
Alrighty, welcome back to Reinvention Radio. Steve Ulscher hanging out with Mary Gale, Richie Ote, and we got Mr. Bob Doyle himself on. Bob, before we get too deep into this, I know you're working on a number of different things right now. What's got you most excited, and where can people find out more information about you?
Well, I've got lots of stuff happening. There's, you know, this whole conversation that we were talking about, because My goal right now these days is because now, like you said, it's been 10 years since The Secret. The whole idea of what the law of attraction is has gotten very distorted and amplified, and it's, you know, a lot of people have just given up on it. And so, you know, to me, it was about let's do a reset almost. Let's do a reset on what the law of attraction is, what it isn't, which is really even more important. And what are the most important components to know about it? There's so much you hear, but like what's really going to get the results? And so I put together this, it's a free masterclass basically that people can sign up for. And I sent your producer the link for you guys. I'm not sure what that is for you, but this masterclass just really goes over, like, even if you're brand new to it, it'll work, you know, it'll help you to educate you. And also especially if you're one of those people who wants to believe this and is not, you know, having lackluster results with it or unpredictable or getting opposite results, which is another thing that can happen for people. They get, you know, very excited about this vision and then suddenly things start to go backwards and they're freaking out. And it's really just about understanding what this is and what might be going on. So it's just a sort of an education reset.
Mm-hmm. All right. Rich, I know you had a question for Bob.
Well, there is actually, I have a couple. I'll start with the one that I've always intrigued by with everybody that's been in The Secret. Now, I want to use the phrase love-hate, but I know you guys don't hate much because you're not trying to play in that energy. But is there kind of a love-hate with being associated with it that everyone just always refers to that darn book? I mean, it's cool you get some press, but...
No, I can't say that I've gone to the hate relationship. I'm so grateful for the opportunity. I mean, the good outweighs the bad, and it made a huge impact on the world, a huge positive impact, and it stirred up a lot of stuff for other people too. But there's no love hate. It's just that, you know, my focus ended up changing a lot after The Secret because there were all these oversimplified definitions and programs coming out because people, quite frankly, marketers were jumping on the bandwagon and said, this is hot. Let's put something out. Mm-hmm. And so they put out a lot of things that didn't have a lot of research and didn't have a lot of merit or whatever. People tried it and then were burned by it. So, you know, a lot of my work has been about dispelling myths, telling people about, you know, this whole concept of resistance, that energy I was talking about, like that were my thoughts, your belief systems, the unseen stuff that is actually having an impact that I know sounds woo-woo, but it doesn't take long to bridge that gap.
Yeah, and that kind of leads to my second question, because I have a Richieism where I say we're really just a sack of chemicals that thinks about thinking. And so I think in that thinking about thinking part, noticing what you're even thinking about is part of the key equation. Now, a lot of these people are having these subconscious thoughts and they don't even know they're thinking them.
I am so lost.
Right?
No, I totally get what you're saying. And they don't really want to do the work and look in the mirror and say, okay, because I think they want to pick and choose the law of attraction tools and say, okay, I'll do these, but I'm not going to
do the real work.
Exactly.
That is absolutely correct. That's exactly right. They people go, well, this part seems easy, but this part seems too confronting. Mm-hmm. So I'm just going to ignore that part and bitch about the fact that this approach I'm taking isn't working.
Yeah. Yep. It's an interior excavation of our way we were raised, fears we bought into, real things that took place because we just made bad choices through life.
Or we just didn't, or we did the best we could and we just didn't have enough information. And that's, you know, a lot of our belief systems and things, all this limited thinking, it happens very early in our life. Now, granted, we also as adults and young adults have other traumatic events that add to that. But, you know, a lot of our primary belief systems about what's possible and how valuable we are and what our worth is, that happens, you know, in the very formative years, and it's pretty hardwired in there. And it isn't true, but it feels true to the person. And so, you know, they've identified themselves with their limitations. Oh, bad things always happen to me, or oh, I guess I'm just a negative person, or I'm this, I'm that. And every time they say I am and then use a word, right? It just solidifies that.
That's biblical. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I am.
Yeah, and which leads to the second part of the question there, where I was going to say, do you think a large part of this is because we're trained so much to look at results and we're trained linearly? And so when people talk in this energy kind of woo-woo space, the woo-woo people want to just be like, oh, well, what's easy? What's the least resistance? And even in the song Row Your Boat, it's still telling you to row. It's not just saying float downstream. It's still saying row, row, right? There's still some work.
Yeah, and they're merrily the whole damn time.
Yeah, they're happy too. But the point is, like, the energetic piece, how much of it do you think? Because some of those people that see that change, they've been doing the work, and they finally, they see it energetically, and they see the result instantly.
They become more congruent.
Yeah, and I think that's where it confuses people, because some people can see results fast because mm-hmm. they've been doing some harder work. And then the other people expect they're going to get the results that quick too because they're just thinking a positive thought. So
that's correct. Yeah, the whole idea of comparing in general, in life, comparing yourself with others, result, whether it's the law of attraction or career or anything, is it's just such a terrible way to spend your energy, because we all have different backgrounds. We all have different things that are going to govern, you know, the rate at which we go through our life and reach success. And we'll only slow ourselves down if we start judging ourselves harshly because somebody else has got something that you want. But we have our own journey to get through. And if you're going to really live your ultimate passionate life, you're going to have to go through and untangle the messes however long it takes. Or you can choose to say, nope, that's too much work. I'm just going to stick this way. And then that's your life with mm-hmm. absolutely no hope for change. We've spent decades educating ourselves, going through careers, you know, trying to create the circumstances for a happy, prosperous, abundant future. We've gone to college. We've done the high school. We've done everything they told us to do. And now we've got people in their 30s or whatever age, and they're going, wow, I'm completely disillusioned, off path, no sense of passion, and I got screwed by this system. Mm-hmm. I've invested hundreds of thousands of dollars in education or personal training or whatever, and here I am, and I feel lost. What am I going to do? And then someone like me comes along and says, well, you can do this, but it's going to be a process. It might take some time. Well, I don't want to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right, well, then you've made your decision.
Yeah.
It's like best if you invest a year or two in getting this together, getting yourself energetically aligned, getting rid of, you know, being brutally honest about what your self-perceived limitations are. If you took a couple of years and it took that long, but then the rest of your life is just whatever, that's awesome. But mm-hmm. people are not willing to do it.
Let me ask you this. I'm going to play a little devil's advocate here, because there was an interesting dialogue going on our Facebook page there. And Maurice Evans was saying basically, yeah, this law of attraction stuff is all well and good, but it seems to only work in a first world country or in a middle class or above type of environment. Go out into the sticks or a third world country, and strangely, the law of attraction never works. What's your take on that?
I'm going to say, first of all, that never works is an overstatement. First of all, it's always working. Okay, this is their perception of what it is to make it work, meaning everybody's happy, everybody's successful, everybody's abundant or whatever. A lot of these countries, they don't know what they don't know. They don't know that they could. Here's the thing. The law of attraction is responding to a predominant vibration, whether it's in ourselves or a community or a country or whatever. So if you've got third world countries who are in agreement that they are poverty stricken, that there's hunger and all of this other stuff, their actions and everything that they're doing are congruent with that. It's an unconscious attraction, just like many of us in these, you know, first world countries who have things pretty good. You know, we attract a lot of crappy stuff into our life. Now, respective to what they're dealing with, it's luxury, right? But for us, it's a low thing. But it's not that we've done anything wrong. It's not that the law of attraction isn't working. It's just that, as we've said, we're brought up with our belief systems, our vibrations, if you will, our energetic programs are running really, really strongly. And in communities or cultures, there's a certain agreement among them. There's a shared energy among them. There's shared beliefs. Now, it's not with every single person. Everybody has their own unique bend, but culturally, geographically, there's this overall sort of agreement, like, well, this is how we feel and believe, and this is what is, and this is the actions that we're taking, and all of those things. You know, so all I can tell you is everybody's attracting appropriately. It doesn't mean that they can't attract something different, but just like what we're talking about, somebody here who's dealing with a problem that is persistent, they've still got to, either as individuals or collectively, get down to what's the energy that's driving this? What is the agreement that's happening here? So, you know, people can tell me, and they do it all the time. I mean, well, what about this bad thing that happened to so-and-so? Da-da-da. They didn't attract that. Well, they were in alignment with it vibrationally, or it would not have happened. Well, this comes from the basic understanding of what the law of attraction is. It's not about consciousness. It's not about, I mean, it's not necessarily about you doing anything right or wrong. It's about, what are you in alignment with? And we as humans have the ability to consciously and intentionally bring ourselves into alignment with things if we know how. And that's what this work is about.
Right. And I think it's a two-step process. One, you have to admit who you are, how you respond to people, what your signature vocabulary is, your signature response, and how you are, you know, do you like the job you're in? How are you presenting yourself to that work? All these things, you have to first acknowledge and admit who you are as a person. Then you go to the law of attraction tools and use those to make different choices and situations in your life.
I'm going to agree with you. And also, you know, to know yourself, like what you said, because you can't really create a vision until you know who you are. Until you know what you're about, what you really want to be, who you want to be, how are you going to create a vision? Because if you don't do that first, what you just said, if you don't do that first, if you don't love yourself first, if you don't find yourself valuable, then the things that you're going to envision are probably going to be things about solving problems, right? Putting out fires, addressing things that are wrong. That is not the energy you want permeating your vision.
Right.
Yeah. No, that's awesome. We're unfortunately going to have to take a quick break here again. And you can appreciate this, Bob, having been in that radio world for as long as you were. But unfortunately, we're going to take a quick break here on Reinvention Radio. And we will be back with Bob Doyle of The Secret Fame and so much more here right after this.
You were born to do one amazing thing, but most people spend a lifetime trying to identify what it is. If you're in a job you don't like or are unemployed, if you're in a state of transition or just can't shake that nagging feeling that you were meant and made to do something extraordinary, then the Reinvention Workshop is exactly what you need. Led by award-winning self-help author Steve Olscher, the Reinvention Workshop will forever change your life. The Reinvention Workshop takes you step-by-step through Steve's proven formula that has helped so many people get on the right path and clear about what they were born to do. Take the first step to realizing the life you deserve and desire by visiting thereinventionworkshop.com today. No more delays. No more denial. Reconnect with your true self. Learn to live with purpose and conviction and become who you were born to be. The world is waiting for you. What are you waiting for? Log on to thereinventionworkshop.com today. That's thereinventionworkshop.com.
And now, back to Reinvention Radio. Here's your host, Steve Olscher.
All righty, welcome back to Reinvention Radio. Steve Olscher hanging out with Mary Goulet, Richie Ote, and we're talking to Bob Doyle. All right, Bob, be honest, man. If you were casting for The Secret, who was the one guy or girl that you wouldn't have put on it?
Oh, come now.
Steve, why do you want to shake that sugar tree?
I'm just curious.
You
know, I mean,
that you. Three times I've been, he never fell for your shenanigans.
Nothing. I can't
good
pull you in
you,
no matter
Bob.
What
good
I do, man. It's like you are rock solid. You will only attract good things in your life. That's awesome. So, yes, Mary.
Well, no, I was going to ask a question.
Please do.
So, in the Law of Attraction, you are speaking to the kind of the secular world people, type A personalities, really want to go out there and do some good and make good money doing it. And then you do have the woo-woo people, which are awesome and beautiful and terrific. What steps would you take for the person who's like, I've had enough of it. I'm going to finally give a shot at this Law of Attraction because I don't like my corporate job. And what steps can I take practically and embracing the Law of Attraction?
Yeah. So great question. And really the first thing, the first step of all of this, well, we talked just now about the first step is you got to kind of know who you are, you know, like what do you truly want so you can build the vision. But that knowing who you want to be and knowing what you want your vision, what you want your life to be, that's the first critical step, because what are you going to use the Law of Attraction for if you don't know what you're going for? And what happens is if people skip that step and they start immediately going, I want it to solve the problems, which we just discussed this. You know, it's like, well, I need the Law of Attraction to work for me because I've got this desperate situation, and that kind of energy.
Right.
If you go into it like that, your ego is going to override every time. You're going to make fear-based decisions. You're not going to be able to hear your intuition. You're not going to know what, you know, it's just going to feel chaotic and it's not going to be it's not going to get the desired result. So knowing what you want, that's the first practical step is to tear yourself away from being obsessed with everything that's wrong and what you don't like, you know, because that's real easy to do, and just say, okay, I've got that. I'm going to use that as a springboard for designing what I do want. You know,
right.
You can look at what you've got and say, well, what elements of this do I like? None? All right, I'm throwing it all out. You know, or I do like this part. I do like this part. I want to amplify that part, and I want, you know, and I don't want any of this stuff in this vision. So I'm just going to fill my vision with the stuff I like. That's the most first critical step. It's going to get you thinking creatively. It's going to have you taking appropriate action because your mindset is different. Now, look. There's two things happening here. One is what I'm saying is it's very practical. We could have this conversation and never once bring up the Law of Attraction. Knowing what you want is obviously going to move you into alignment with taking more appropriate action than if you don't know what you want, right? That's common sense. So I could teach that to a group of people and teach them that whole thing and the importance of that and never once say the Law of Attraction and send them on their way and they could get results. The Law of Attraction is what makes that true. You can choose to understand it or you choose to not, but you are in those decision-making processes and getting clear on your vision. You are literally rearranging energy. You are adjusting vibrations of energy. And it sounds woo-woo, but that is definitely what you're doing. And because we are connected to the rest of the universe at all times, there is a response that takes place. And what the response is going to be in alignment with what you're putting out there. So you're going to literally bring in things like ideas of action steps to take. So whether or not you know that your idea, this idea that you had once you created this vision came from the Law of Attraction or your intuition, or you just think, I just had this brilliant idea, it doesn't matter. But the same things happen. Energy was rearranged. You opened yourself up to receiving a different type of information because you're looking now at possibility, you know, as opposed to restrictive and fear. based thinking.
So, Bob, this is Richard again. Since we're not going to be looking at the restricted and fear-based thinking, and we're going to be looking for that which we're most wanting to see, right? We're going for the positive. When that is happening, how can you help the person that's so close energetically, but they're so used to needing to see results? Because a lot of times you're working and you're moving towards it energetically, but you're not seeing on the outside world what you think you need to see, so you don't think you're moving forward or towards it or whatever it is. What's something that can help somebody kind of stay the course? Is it as simple as I still feel good?
Well, if they feel good, then that's great, because they're probably not – if they're feeling good, then that probably means they've got patience. They've got something of detachment from it needing to be a certain way at a certain time. But if they're feeling bad or anxious, like, where is it? I've been working on this for too long. You know, I've been working on this so long. It means that they're trying to take their mode of thinking, their ideas of what's logical and what is practical and what is proof that something's happening, and trying to make it fit into what's happening. And if it doesn't show up that way, they're going, oh, this isn't working. But as you alluded to, we can be looking at our situation and not know about so many things that are happening behind the scenes that we can't see as a result of action we took. You know, like, for example, just as a crazy example, we could send out, you know, let's say we're looking for a job or whatever. We send out all these resumes and we're not hearing from anybody. And we think, oh, that's it. You know, I'm unhireable. I'm terrible. But what we don't know is that there are a couple of these companies having these great big meetings. They're getting very excited about the opportunity that's going to come to you, or that type of thing. So what I'm saying is that we don't know. We can't know the intelligent design of the universe. We have human brains. And what we have in there is our accumulated knowledge and experience, but we have access to literally infinite intelligence because we're connected to it and a product of it and a part of it. So we have access to it, but we have to allow it, and we can't allow it if we go, my brain is smarter than the universe.
Right. And one of the other things, a lot of the law of attraction stuff kind of faded away is because, full disclosure, I'm practical Mary, but I live in the land of woo-woo as well. Awesome. So in the land of woo-woo, what happened were people were like, oh my gosh, they're manifesting something cool. A shiny object pops up and they're like, this is really working. But then they relied on always seeing those shiny things popping up for them as coincidences that they manifested. And they didn't really, then I go back to, they didn't follow through with a solid plan and work it, work themselves over inside out, and then use the law of attraction as a tool.
Yep, you're right. It's all about a lack of information. It's all about having piecemealed information about what the law of attraction is. And we hear stories from our friends and we go, well, we'll do what they did. And if we don't get the same result, we go, well, I guess they were just lucky. It's all about education. It's all about knowing what is really going on here and being willing to take the time to invest in that education, time-wise or whatever. And also what we've said over and over is this brutal honesty that you have to have with yourself.
Yeah. All right, so unfortunately, we're going to have to.
That was great.
Yeah, it's awesome. Start wrapping here. And I know you've got a couple of sites like boundlessliving.com and wealthbeyondreason.com. And of course, as you mentioned, you have the masterclass. So are those two good places for folks to go? And can you talk for about a minute here about the masterclass that you've got?
Yeah, so again, the masterclass is the theme of the whole thing is bridging the gap. And that's what we've got here. And I mean, it's always been here. There's always been, for the people who, quote unquote, the law of attraction is not working for. It is working. They just don't know it. they need to understand, well, how come I'm here and my vision's over there? So again, the masterclass is about saying, here's what the law of attraction. Obviously, I tell a little bit of my story because it's fairly relatable because I'm not really a new agey guy. And I'm just, you know, I was a businessman trying to make businesses work and stuff like that. So I share that a little bit. But then it's really about, well, how did I become brutally honest with myself? You know, what were my limitations? What did I realize? And then, you know, sharing that with people so that they can see that in themselves. And then we work through practical steps about the important things like taking action and hearing your intuition. What's the mm-hmm. difference? How do you know it's your intuition and not just some crazy ass thought, mm-hmm. right? So, you know, that type of thing, those important, those things that really make the law of attraction practical, which is what a lot of people need right now.
Yeah. No, that's really, really helpful. All right. So, man, I tell you, we could probably talk to Bob for...
It was a ping pong table with Richard and I.
It was. You guys were like, I was like, bing, bing. So, man, I tell you, maybe we'll have to have Bob back on, or at least maybe we'll look at this subject again.
Yeah, it was great.
At some point down the line, because it definitely seems
fix
to...
Your
I mean,
life.
It resonates with you guys. I mean, I'm still screwed. You guys are fine. You guys are attracting all good stuff, but I'm still a hose. But look, we'll put in the show notes, so if you're in the podcast edition of this and you'll check that out there, you'll see in the show notes how you can get more information about the masterclass. But wow, good stuff from Bob Doyle here of The Secret Fame and so much other great things going on. Mary Goulet, Richie Ote, I'm Steve Ulscher for Bob Doyle. We'll talk to you guys next time here on Reinvention Radio. Take care.
You just got dismantled. Thanks for listening to Reinvention Radio. For more information about the show and your host, Steve Ulscher, visit reinventionradio.com.
Too much to do? Not enough time to get it done? Call on the experts at Another 8 Hours for your business support needs. By partnering with Another 8 Hours, we allow you to focus on the more important matters, like being in front of your clients, doing what you do best, rather than being stuck at a desk poring over paperwork, rummaging through emails, returning phone calls, and struggling to get everything done by yourself. Meanwhile, your family and social life are going down the drain. Go to another8hours.com or call 8 more hours. That's 866-734-6877.